Good evening.
Good evening.
It's really good to see you. I hope you've had a great day. And I want to say thank you for being here. Looking forward to spending a little time in the book of Ephesians with you. Specifically, mostly Ephesians 1 and 2, but mostly Ephesians 1. We'll be looking there tonight as we study together five chapters at a time each week. And Ephesians 1 and 2 is chapters 4 and 5, basically, for the five chapters this week. So we'll be looking at that tonight. I'm looking forward to doing that. As we begin, I want to say thank you to Robbie for giving his time this afternoon for the, for lack of a better term, singing class, working on songs that maybe we don't know or some that we don't know very well, and seeking to come to know and appreciate and be able to enjoy some of those things with the eye to the future of singing those all together one day, you know, a night like tonight. And so I'm looking forward to that. Very appreciative of Robbie. And what is it, the first and third Sunday? So just in case you haven't, you know, seen it in the bulletin, the handout, and those kinds of things, first and third Sundays at 5 o'clock, we'll be getting together to sing and work on those things. It was a lot of fun tonight, not only to sing together, but it was also a lot of fun to be sitting there and seeing people walk in. And as we were singing, they were like, I know I'm early. What's I'm early. And then that's what it was. At 5 o'clock, we got together to sing. And so, yeah, you weren't late for anything except missing singing class. But that several different people, that happened maybe at least four times that I saw people walking in and thinking, what happened? Did I bump my head? Am I late? No, everything's good. But that's what it is. And so if you want to be here on the third Sunday this week or this month, 5 o'clock, we'll be singing together, and appreciate Robbie doing that. So that's just something to look forward to. What we're going to do here tonight, look at Ephesians chapter 1 specifically, talking about blessings, talking about what it is to be blessed by God. Now, our title is In Him, and that comes from not just the fourth verse, but all throughout chapters 1 and 2. But really, things are going to be based on this. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Look with me at verse 3. Where he says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In Christ are all spiritual blessings, is sort of the idea. So what I want us to do is we're going to be thinking through this concept. What he's doing is he's saying this. Brothers and sisters, this is Paul writing to the Christians in Ephesus. Every spiritual blessing is in Christ. And then as if he anticipates that they'd be saying, well, what is that? What are those things that we can look forward to? He goes on and he says, okay, well, let me tell you. In him, we have this blessing. And in him, we have this blessing. And in him, we have this blessing. And so all throughout this chapter, as he's explaining this, of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, how all spiritual blessings are in Christ, he will then say, let me tell you about them. In him is this blessing, in him is that blessing. And so that's what we're going to do tonight, is look at those different blessings that are in chapter 1 based on that concept of all blessings in Christ. In him, Mason, you get this blessing. In him, you get this blessing. Because I want us to talk about that and think through that. But before we can do that, we have to have sort of lay this groundwork and talk about, okay, well, how do I find myself in Christ? What must be done to be moved from being out in the world to being in Christ? If all blessings are in Christ, if all blessings are in Him, how can I be transferred from the domain of darkness, Colossians 1:13, into the kingdom of Jesus? Well, it's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. It's profound, it's deep, it's divine, but it's simple. Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 3. Just notice with me just how easy this is to understand. Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ, Jesus, were baptized into his death? We were buried with him, therefore, by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might be walking and in the newness of life. How do we find ourselves in Christ? But to be united with him in his death and his resurrection. To say it quite simply, we find ourselves in Christ by being baptized into Christ. Galatians chapter 3. We just read Romans 6, 3 and 4. Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27 will say the exact same thing, just in different words. Galatians 3, 26. For in Christ Jesus, you're all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. The way that you now live with, are robed with, clothed with, enveloped by, the way you are now in Christ is by being baptized into Christ. The logical train of thought goes like this. Every spiritual blessing is in Christ. And I find myself in Christ only after I have been baptized into Christ. Once I've been baptized into Christ, I have every reason to claim the spiritual blessings that are offered by God to mankind. Pretty straightforward, right? So now that we've got that bit of groundwork out of the way, we've laid that bit of foundation, now we can build on that and move on to the next thing, where he's talking to these Christians and he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." What are some of these blessings? What are the blessings of being in Him versus the pain of being outside of Christ? Well, let's start with this. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, he says this. Even as He chose us, note this, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. Now, let's be clear about a few things. In Him, one of the great, great blessings that are found only in Christ, in Him we are chosen. Salvation, let's be clear, salvation has been offered to all mankind. Okay, let me just say that as plainly as I can. Let's repeat it one more time. Salvation has been offered to all mankind. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Robbie, I might need you to come up here and help me. Titus 2:11. The grace of God has appeared to all men. The Lord has called any and all who will come. This is the way Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. All ye who are weary and heavy laden, if you are tired, if you are sick, if you are worn out, if you are desperate, if you need to be rescued, if you are coming broken just as you are, He says, all of you may come. Matthew 11, 28. Anyone who hears. Look at Revelation 22, verse 17. Anyone who hears, anyone who's thirsty, and anyone who has the desire can come and drink from the water of life. Revelation 22, 17. The gospel message is for any and for all. Christ Jesus died, I think you know John 3, 16. For God so loved the world. It's not just that He loved a select few. It's not just that he loved a certain group. But He loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son so that any and all, so that all who believe on Him may not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in Him can have life. To say that only a few have opportunity, to say that God just picked some people to go to heaven and picked others to go to hell before they ever had an opportunity to hear the message and to respond to it simply is not biblical. The plan of God has always been, before the foundation of the world that we'll see here, the plan of God has always been to save mankind in Christ. The plan of God is to save the faithful in Christ. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 2. To the saints who are in Ephesus, those who are faithful in Christ Jesus. It's about a group that's been designated. Now, when we read through this, read with me. Let's start at verse 3. Let's just read 3 and 4 again, just so we can read some of these verses here that might catch us off guard, that might cause us to furrow our brows, but it's not an issue. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless in Him. In love He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. Now let's stop right there for a moment. This concept has predestined us. To be predestined, this word just means to have set the boundaries beforehand. That's all that means. To set the boundaries beforehand is what it is to be predestined. It's not too different from what a teacher at the beginning of a semester does. Here we're in that time frame of the year where young people are going back to school. Well, here's what you need to know. The boundaries have been set before you got there. Before you got there, the teachers decided this much. Back in the day, it was 90%. 90% and above. Those who make 90% and above, you have been predestined to make an A. That doesn't mean, Asa Jones, you've been predestined. You might wish that was the case. No, I'm sure you're a great student. But the predestined is the boundary being set beforehand. And so it's not different from that. A teacher didn't say which specific students would receive an A. The teacher says that it's been clearly delineated since the first day of school who was destined for an A and who wasn't. Those who make this mark, those who fit this description. It's to set the boundaries beforehand. A teacher predestines all students and grades before each school year. They don't assign the grades to the students. That happens over the course of the year as requirements are met. And here's the first blessing. We have been chosen to be holy and to be blameless in Him. We have been told, we have been shown, do you want to be a part of this grand body? Do you want to be a part of this glorious group, as it were, that Paul could call the saints in Ephesus, that he could call the faithful in Christ Jesus? It's a great, great blessing to be chosen in Him, to know we are part of this amazing, thought out, planned, gloriously designed body of people that He's been looking forward to calling brethren from before the foundation of the world. It's a great blessing to be chosen in Him. And secondly, he says it's a great blessing to be redeemed in Him. Verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. In Him we have redemption. Because of Him, because of Jesus the Christ, we can be forgiven. Because of His blood that was shed on the cross, we can be redeemed. There's a song we sing, one we probably don't need to have as part of the class, Robbie. But redeemed, exclamation mark, redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. You see, that's the first thing we often say, redeemed, how I love to... Redeemed, I've been redeemed. I've been brought back. I've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. Sin is the problem. I may have lots and lots of issues. I may have lots of things that are causing me worry and that are on my mind, but sin is the problem. It's not my hectic schedule. It's not my life-altering illness. It's not 100 other things like this. Sin is the problem. And Jesus Christ fixes the problem. The riches of His grace that He just lavishes upon us. Read that verse again, verses 7 and 8. He says, all of our spiritual blessings are in Christ. Well, what are some of our blessings, Paul? Well, one of our blessings is that in Him we are redeemed. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace that He just lavishes upon us. Whenever I read that, I'm reminded of, and this might be surprising to you, but this reminds me of the prodigal son. The prodigal son, you know, we always just refer to the prodigal son in Luke 15 as that one kid, the young man who came to his father, wanted his inheritance, and goes off and wastes it all. But you know, as we pointed out before, that young man is not the only prodigal in that story. The father is prodigal as well. Because prodigal does not mean, it's not just limited. Prodigal can mean reckless. Prodigal can mean wasteful. But prodigal also can mean being generous on a lavish and over-the-top kind of scale. Being prodigal can also mean giving every single thing you've got, spending the last dollar on someone who needs it. That is being prodigal, and that's what the father in that story of Luke 15 does. In Luke 15, verses 22 through 24, when that son comes back, and the son's already practiced his story. I'm going to say I'm a terrible sinner, and I'm not even worth being your son. Just let me be one of the slaves. Before he can even finish that practice and rehearse story, the father starts calling out, bring out everything, shoes, rings, robes, kill the fatted calf. Let's be prodigal today. I want to give him everything. I'm going to be over the top in the way that I bless this young man who has come back. And that's the way the father is. He doesn't just give a little. He doesn't even just give us just a little bit more than what we deserve. The Father pours the blessings on us. in Him. In Christ we have redemption through His blood. Because He died, we can be forgiven. We have forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us. In Him, a sinner can be forgiven. In Him, my sins can be covered by His blood. If that's not part of just being blown away by being just having a cup that just overflows, as the psalmist would say, then I don't think we can be blessed. But in Him, we can be redeemed. Because He died, because He shed His blood, I can be washed in that blood and made new. That's a blessing. Next, he says, in Him we have unity. Look at verse 10. He keeps using these same words. As a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things where? Unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Galatians chapter 3 at verse 28, the Bible says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. Here's one thing that he's saying. He's saying, look, on the one hand, you got to know this. There is no room for prejudice of any sort in this family. There's no racism. There's no elitism. There's no room for any type of prejudice in this body. We're to be unified. We're to be of the same mind, of the same judgment. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. But he's saying something even more than that. Because remember, this is to answer the question, what's the great blessing of being in Christ? What are the great blessings that come with being in this body? Well, there's being forgiven, that's one. But here's something else. Being part of this body, a great, great blessing of being in Christ is that in Him we are unified. In Him we've been given this wonderful, big, diverse family that can be a wonderful resource for us. You've got all these different people that you can reach out to when you need help. You've got all these different people that you can draw from, that things that they can do that you can't do. Just recently, a brother from here was at our house helping us. And he made the point. He said something like, I wish there was a way that we could trade off a little bit. I could share some of my knowledge with you of things that I can do, and you could share some of your knowledge with me. That's what the church is to be about. Is that when there's something I can't do, one of you can. When there's something that you need from me, I can help you with that. That's what each one of us is to do. In Him, there is this unity that we are to have. The blessing we've been given of this great, great family, we should be able to learn from and lean on people from all different walks of life. In Him, we are to be unified. In Him, we are to be one. In Him, we are to be a family that seeks to care, seeks to love, seeks to lift up, seeks to encourage, seeks to be one. And the next idea is this. If it wasn't a great enough blessing to be forgiven here on this earth, it wasn't a great enough blessing to have this great family. But then he says this, verse 11. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. He says, we have obtained this inheritance. Just like Abraham back in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, if we are Christ, we are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Going all the way back to Genesis 12, the promise was made to him, Abraham, through your family, one will come who will bless all the world. And if we can be a part of that, set free from sin, set free from the bondage of slavery to sin, then we are heirs according to the promise with Abraham. And so he says here, we have riches and we have treasures that cannot be compared to this life. Paul would write it this way in Romans chapter 8:18. There's sufferings and there are trials and there are heartaches that I'm going through now. But those shortcomings, those hurtful circumstances cannot even begin to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed to each one of us on the other side. In Luke chapter 16 at verse 11, the Bible says that we know there are such things as true riches. We have this inheritance. We have something amazing waiting for us because we are in Him. Now, for all that could be said about heaven, as we pore over the lines of a book like John's Revelation, truly the best thing that can be said about heaven Even as we seek to do our very, very best to describe it, to understand it, I think the best thing that could be said about heaven is that it's actually beyond our capacity to conceive of how wonderful it truly will be. The inheritance that we have waiting on us is beyond any inheritance that we could leave. It's beyond anything that we could dream up on our own. In fact, here in the book of Ephesians, Paul speaks of the fact that there is one that is working in us that is able to do beyond, well beyond what we're able to even to conceive of. And so in Him, this is our inheritance. This is what He's preparing for us. This is what He's seeking to give us. You see, a statement like that, and I cannot stop thinking about it. I've shared it a number of times, and I'm going to say it again tonight. When Brother Darrell Miller knew that his time was almost ended, he knew that he was about to draw his last breath on this earth. He knew his time was short here. He said from a hospital bed, "I can't wait to see what the Lord has prepared for me." Now that says to me, that's somebody who understands Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. In Him, because I am in Christ, because I am in Him, because He has bought me with His blood, because He has added me to this unified body, because I am in Him, I've obtained an inheritance. And heaven's mine. He said, "I cannot wait to see what the Lord has prepared." I've thought about that every single day since the day He said it. And that's one of the blessings of being in Him. Next would be this. In Him we've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1 at verse 13. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him. So there's kind of in this parenthetical statement here. This is the way it reads. In Him you also were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. In Him you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans chapter 8 in and of itself says quite a bit about the blessings of the Spirit. From the power of the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the power that raises us. But it says this in Romans 8, 26, when it comes to one of the immediate blessings of the Spirit. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." It's such a blessing to know that God knows us. He knows His own. He knows His family. He knows His children. It's such a blessing to know that He hears His children. It's such a blessing to know that He responds to the pleas, the calls, the cries of His children. And then look down in Ephesians chapter 2 at verse 22. The same language is going to be used about the Spirit. Ephesians 2, 22. In Him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. I want you to think with me very quickly about a passage that is a passage you know well. But let's emphasize something just one more time from Acts 2, 38. In Acts 2, 38, there are two groups of two. In Acts 2:38, what we always emphasize are the two commands. The two commands are repent and be baptized. But in Acts 2:38, there's also not just those two commands, there's also two blessings. Because after the two commands, repent and be baptized, there's your commands from heaven. What do we do? Repent and be baptized. What do we get? That could be the next question they ask. Forgiveness and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Two commands, repent, be baptized, two blessings, forgiveness and the gift of the Holy Spirit. That sounds a whole lot to me like Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. He says, in Him. Remember we said we were put in Him by being baptized into Christ. In Him, He says, you are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. This blessing, like all the others, is reserved for those who are in Him. One more. This is the last one. In Christ, we have been brought near and given peace. Look at chapter 2, verse 13. But now, in Christ, Now in Christ Jesus, you once who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Now in this first century setting, specifically, the Gentiles were often those who were referred to as the far off ones. The Gentiles were those who were far off. The Jews were those who were nearby. And so on the one hand, what he's saying here is that what Christ does is he offers a place at the table. He offers a spot in the family for even those like the Gentiles who are far off. But additionally here, the image is one of just bringing in outsiders. It's the idea of those who have been isolated, those who have been alone. And what Christ does when you come into him is that he brings you into the fold. He brings you near. So that's what Jesus Christ does. He brings us near. He brings us into a place of safety and warmth and peace. In him we have no fear. In him we have no worries. The image that's being conjured up here, the image that's painted in my mind when I read through a passage such as this, is that it's like a parent, a father, a mother. It's like a loving, concerned, compassionate parent who pulls their crying child up into their lap so that they can tell them, all is well. In Christ, what happens for us, according to Ephesians 2, is that we are brought near and given peace. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, the Bible says, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. In Christ, we are in a place where we can say, that's why we often sing it, but in Christ, we're in a place where we can say, it is well with my soul. That's a blessing that is reserved for those who are in him. Now, the other side of the coin, we'll just make mention of this very quickly, as he says, the other thing is this. Look at chapter 2, verse 1 of Ephesians. This is what it is to be out of Christ. Being out of Christ means we're dead. Ephesians 2, 1, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked. The only way to be forgiven of sin, the only way to be made alive is to be washed in the blood of Christ, right? Like we've already said, to be outside of that is to be dead. But he also says, out of Christ, you're just selfish, just following your own passions. Look at verse 3, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, just carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind. We're by nature children of wrath, just like the rest of mankind. And you see, what he's talking about here is that there's living for self. And at first, that might sound fun. It might even sound charming. It might even sound romantic. Just live for self. Go where you want to go. Do what you want to do. That ends up being the path to destruction. The only real life is the one that's lived for and in Christ. Otherwise, we're selfish and just following our own passions to our own destruction. Then look at verse 12. Verse 12 has separated, alienated strangers without hope. Chapter 2, verse 12. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. Separated from Christ, cut off from the community. Remember we said one of the great blessings of being in Christ is the family that God has blessed us with. Strangers, not under anyone's protection, not anyone else's concern. A great blessing of being in Christ is having those who love you, will cry with you, will laugh with you, will rejoice with you. And being out of Christ, there's no hope. It's beyond sad to hear. It's beyond sad to know of someone who just lives without hope. But what about those who don't have any idea? What about those who are certain that all is well, but the truth is they don't have hope? Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, Jesus speaks of those who would call him Lord, but that he says, I don't know you. Because those who are able to call me Lord, those who are able to be a part of this kingdom are those who do the will of the Father. To be in Christ is beautiful and is just overflowing with blessings. To be outside of Christ is terrifying. That doesn't have to be us. We can have hope in Christ to the praise of his glory. So the question tonight is this: Are you in Christ? Are you enjoying all of the wonderful spiritual blessings that come with being in Christ? Well, my prayer for you, my prayer for each one of us in this place tonight is Paul's prayer. So I want us to stop tonight. I want us to end tonight. I want us to conclude tonight by looking at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. We'll read this together and we'll be finished. Because this is my prayer for you. Ephesians 1:16. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He's called you. Do you have this hope? He wants you to know what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. Do you know about these riches? He wants you to know what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe. Do you fear this power? He wants you to know about this amazing power that's working His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that's named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. Today is the day to begin enjoying the blessings of Christ. If there's any way that we can help you with this, we encourage you to come while we stand and sing.